Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. In real time, He's moving by His Spirit. And He's helping us help others. That's what I love about the move of God. The move of God never stopped from the time God made Adam and commissioned him with the first five commandments to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. In fact, the Holy Spirit never stopped moving when we first met him in Genesis. That, you know, the word says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And then it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I say he's been moving ever since. Evaluating, blessing people, helping people to help others. You know, Pastor Jackson said there are people assigned to your life. In other words, there are people that you can be a blessing to. And sometimes in the course of our lives, we have a route that we live. That's why sometimes you want to get a job. Some jobs don't fall through and others do. Then evaluate the people that you meet along the way. I remember my first job. I wanted a car. So I started putting in applications at places. And my first job, it was so easy for me to get that job. And my mother told me to dress up and go down there and turn in my application. I don't know. I can't remember what I wore, but I wore dress clothes. I don't know if it was a suit or pants and shirt and a tie. But I went down, and Mr. Todd Hunter, I turned my application in, and he called me. It was almost immediately at Food Giant. And I met people there that are key to my life. I met some of my best friends at that store. In fact, I got saved at that store. You know, they hired a guy. He was in the military. He was in the Army. And after he did his time in the Army, he got out. He ended up working at the grocery store. And he said something that really got my attention. You know, I grew up in the church, and I didn't know much about Israel. And one day, he was talking about how about Israel and how things are going on over there, and the problems they're going through, and the way people want to fight over there, you know, and how other countries hate Israel. And I said, you know, I remember them talking about Israel in the Bible, and I knew that there's a lot to this. In modern times, they're still having biblical problems. You know, that got my attention. And then the guys that deliver Coca-Cola, Mark and Charlie, they told everybody about Jesus. And we started getting saved. See, when you grow up in the church and you hear about things, from your point of view, you've never experienced these things. Unless you take time to study the word, you don't have a pictorial. You don't have a vision for what's being taught. These things are far away from you. Your first thoughts and your first concerns is what will make you happy in this life. And the enemy is aware of that. You're not. You're just trying to live. And those things are almost irrelevant to you. And when you study it, you say, well, how will it help me? But the problem is the war between God and Satan is still raging. And Satan is trying to turn you from God. He's trying to make you curse. He's trying to orchestrate your life so that you will be at odds with God. just like he did Job. When we studied the book of Job, put yourself in Job's position. This is what the enemy is doing against you. It's not just the attacks and the, see, he was trying to get Job to curse God to his face. So he used attack strategies. Since Job was wealthy, he tried to attack his progress. He thought that Job feared judgment, but Job feared God, and he also greatly feared evil. That's what opened the gates. That's what moved his hedge. See, Satan said that you got Job hedged about, and I can't get to him. And then the Lord pointed out to Satan that he's in your hands. And then Job said, the things I greatly feared has come upon me. So fear attaches your life to the world. If you fear something, you've given a portion of your allegiance to something bad. And that opened, God don't just open people's hedge of protection. He can't. Your faith keeps you immune to the world. And if you love God and you don't, there's no condemnation against you, you're fully protected. Then all you have to, from there, you just rebuke Satan and take authority over him. You have the authority, he don't. And the Lord clears something up for me. A lot of good, great men of God, I've heard them say that, I hope God don't allow Satan to do something. Well, God taught me alone in the 80s. He said, I allow what you allow. And Jesus said it too. He said, told Peter, after he stated that Jesus is the Son of God, he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You're the point man. You're the one that gets to say what goes on in your life, not God and not Satan. So, with that being cleared up, we need to understand that we have authority here. And I know that Paul was martyred and Peter was martyred and other disciples were martyred. And Jesus told them that would happen. But it couldn't happen till they finished their course. Daniel said some people will die to prove others. God is looking for sincerity. See, the war that we're in, Jesus taught us well. Don't be afraid of those that kill the body. They can't kill the spirit. But that looks like Satan, God can tell Satan to kill you. No, it don't work that way. What you allow, heaven allows. What you bind, heaven binds. And we have to take our place and get rid of the gray area doubt. And I know that there are martyrs. And I know that. But see, God gave Jeremiah his life. Some things are done for godly reasons. And that is also the move of the Holy Spirit. But you have to go by his word. Job was not a sitting duck. God was with him the whole while. But this illustration gave us so much. The dialogue of Job and his friends and the wisdom they had was shown to us by what happened. Satan was so focused, so narrowly focused on making Job curse God to his face, that when he started that fight with Job, he found out he was outclassed because Job kept looking to God. And Job never seen God. But he was steadfast and he would not curse God to his face or judge God falsely. And he didn't understand what was going on. Job couldn't read verses chapters 1 and 2. He wrote that after God talked to him and showed him things. But Satan did this publicly. And what I mean by publicly, he did this before all creation. All creation saw Job defeat Satan. Now, I said all that to say this. The war that we're in is designed to get your attention off God. The worldly pushback that you feel. When you love Jesus and you want to tell people about Jesus and you feel that resistance, that's the worldly influence on people. When you love God, you can feel the resistance from people sometimes. And when you talk about Jesus to people, some people get offended. That's because of the influence of the world. But when you live the life of God, you give them example. Sometimes people have the wrong opinions about God. They process God differently because they've been in the world too long. And the world hardens your heart against God. That's a fact. So as a teenager, I'm trying to think about what makes me happy, what I want to do with my life, how I want things to go, what I want in life, and how I can make it happen. And my mind was not first and foremost on the things of God, especially things of war. But when he told me about how the Israel was having problems with the Palestinians, I said, this thing is, that's modern times. This thing's still going on. They're still having problems they had in the Bible days. You know, in my youthful mind, that's what I thought. And that was like credibility to the Bible itself that my daddy preached. See, when people preach, they're talking about things that happened a long time. You know, look at it from, to help illustrate this. If they were talking about George Washington and the battles that he did, that happened a long time ago. We know the outcome. It was good. We're standing on their shoulders because they won this battle. We're not part of a selfish kingdom. We're a democracy and people are free to live how they want to, good or bad. And they can chart their own destiny, good or bad, without the king telling them what to do. You know, in some kingdoms and dictatorships, you may want to be a school teacher, but they say, no, you need to be a mechanic. You may not want to be a mechanic. And then, like me, I want to be a mechanic, but I thoroughly understand why anybody wouldn't want to be a mechanic. The same thing for anything else. But people do things because God designed them. You know, when you want to be a mechanic, you can be good at it. You'll enjoy it. If they told you you had to be an administrator and you hate office work, your whole life is shot. You know, you're miserable. You're doing what somebody else said told you to do because that's all you could do. Or if you had to be in the army, you might hate fighting. To you, that's the last thing on your list. But no, you're a soldier. The king wants you to be a soldier. You're going to be a soldier. And you're going to do whatever you're told. You don't get to live where you want. You don't get to go where. And sometimes people have to marry who somebody else wants them to marry. Now, you know, this is a country where you can choose to who you want to marry. You can choose what you want to do for a living. You can choose how long you want to work. You can choose a job and make a lot of money and don't overspend and work for 25 years and do something else with your life for the rest of your life. It's up to you. But if the state owns everything, you're controlled. So when we look at these things, when we look at history, all right, now you have opportunity. You can chart your own life. They won this battle for you. You're thankful for it. And those people like George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, they're heroes. But they lived a long time before you did. Now, it's, my focus is on doing something with my life that I want to happen. But when he said that Israel was still having war problems, biblical problems, I said, that gave much credibility to the Word of God in my eyesight. And this is a time when I was more selfish. I wasn't thinking about people going to heaven or hell. I kind of thought that was up to God. You see, a lot of things are wrong with the way you think. But I'm saying all this to say this. I'm trying to show a mindset. When you're in the world, you think about you and what you want. Not as much the needs of others and the needs of God and what's really important. But the Bible shows us that. So the Bible's not as popular compared to how, from a selfish point of view, of course, to those who would be thinking about themselves and what they want and pleasures in this life. And while you don't know God, the enemy's trying to show you his version of pleasure. This is what you do to have fun. This is what you need to have fun. This is the way everybody has fun. And if you don't do it my way, you're not going to have fun. In fact, when I finally made up my mind to get saved, Satan told me, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. And I thought he was telling it from my perspective, it sounded true. But then I thought about Jesus dying for me. I said, no. I said, I don't care. And I believed Satan on that. I believed that I was going to be bored. But I said, this is right. I want to do what's right. I want to honor Jesus who loved me. And I felt a peace come over me like nothing I ever had before. This kind of peace, there's no worldly description for it. There's no worldly definition for it that is not in the dictionary. What I felt, when I felt the presence and the peace of God, I had fellowship with God. And I had concern for my love and my concern and my compassion for people elevated. And I did love people before I got saved. I really cared about people. If you wanted to really make me mad, pick on somebody that couldn't fight back. I'd jump in it. At first, I'd get mad. I'd get 38 hot mad. I'd get so mad out. But, and people could see it. Because I cared about people. And if somebody picked on me because they thought they could win, that would make me mad. I didn't care about getting hurt when I got that kind of, when I had that kind of anger. Because I love justice. I love what's right. But the Lord had to help me temper all that and use it positively. And he did help me do it. And that was by the Holy Spirit. But see, looking at my mindset, I'm thinking about myself, what I want, what's important to a young man. And how I wanted to be married and have a good relationship. I wanted a good family for myself. I wanted good things for me. And I wanted everybody else to do well too, but that was my higher priority. But when I saw Israel fighting for their own land, according to biblical doctrine, and I knew about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but I didn't know the fullness of what God had done. I thought salvation was kind of up to God, and I knew you believe on Jesus, I don't know why I thought that way, but I did. That's just how I thought. The enemy knew how I thought, so he played me as long as he could. But when I was almost 20 years old, 3 weeks away from being 20, I'm 19 years old, I asked the Lord to save me. Because after the guy that was in the army told me what he did, my thoughts are running now. I'm considering the credibility of the word. But I didn't start studying yet. And then, here come the coke men. Now, Earl was in the same band that I was in. I met Charles and Earl and Bruce at the store. And then, Chris and James. James got saved first. Then Chris got saved. He was an Italian Catholic, but he believed on Jesus. And And James and Chris helped me learn the Word of God, especially Chris, because I talked to Chris more. Chris talked to James, and James talked to Chris, and Chris talked to me. And he told me the best foundational things. Chris was like my pastor. He was my informal pastor. He was not a pastor, but he did the job of a teacher. And it really helped in those beginning years. And he the first one to teach me about authority over Satan. Methodist people didn't go that far with it. And so, you know, if you don't know how to fight the enemy, you just do the best you can. You love God and you kind of leave it. The concept is everything's kind of up to God, but that's not the way it is. It's more like what I just explained earlier. But I didn't know all this. But he said, Thurston, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin anymore. Christians sin if they want to. They don't have to sin. That was one of the foundational things he taught me. That's accurate. He didn't say you'll never sin. He said you don't have to. Sin has no control over you anymore. That's biblical. And I can prove it with scriptures, and I will it whenever God wants me to. But the other thing is, he said, you have power over Satan. You can rebuke Satan, and he has to obey you. And I said that, and he showed me the scriptures. That one of them was one I just read. The other one's Luke chapter 10:19. We have power over Satan, over all the power of the enemy. All the way up to, we can tread on scorpions and serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Satan's under our foot. So, that's a way of life now. The Holy Spirit guided me. He used people to get to me, to help me see what I needed. From there, I started studying the Word, and the people that, see, God is moving by His Spirit. This is several months as the Lord orchestrated. From the time I worked at that store, the Lord put things in motion. I'm not His child yet, but He put people in place to say what I needed. My boss had me to work with the guy that was in the Army. And he didn't work that long. He worked there, I guess, a year or so. He got a better job. But he came to tell me what I needed to get the wheels rolling about Israel. And the Bible having greater, it's not just a history book. It's relevant for now, for your life. That's what I began to understand. Then when I heard the Word and I responded, the Lord started, He put people in my life to help me. He's moving by His Spirit. All of these people were bearing fruit. They were doing what they was. The guy that was in the Army, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he had information I needed. And he gave me information I needed. And I believe the Lord would have saved him. See, sometimes even as a sinner, he told some dirty jokes. But he also told me what I needed. I laughed at the dirty jokes. Me and Chris used to tell dirty jokes. Then we got saved and we hated dirty jokes. When you're a sinner, anything, you know, you don't care. Whatever you think is okay. That's just the mindset. But when you have the life of God in you, you see it for what it is. So, He's moving by His Spirit. He can use a person, even if they're not His yet, to do good for others. And then reward them where they need it. And I believe that's what would have happened to him. And I really pray that it did. But when he did all this, when he gave me what I need, I didn't think to pray for him. Because my mind wasn't, you know, I probably did after I got saved. Because I started, at random, I would pray for people. I would see customers with little children. I'd pray for the child. I'd see people that were sick. They didn't know it. I was sacking groceries. I'd pray for them. The Holy Spirit is moving by His Spirit. If I overhear a need, I pray for people. I didn't tell them anything. I wanted to tell them about Jesus so they could do it themselves. But I didn't know how to do that yet, so I just prayed. I did what I could. And God, He uses. Sometimes people will come in with a need, you'll see it and pray. When you pray for people, you do involve God. and he gets to move by his spirit. I love it. I thank God for all of these things. God, that's why I say he's mightily moving by his spirit. And I thank God for it. See, everybody that's yielded to him, he will help them come to a point where they can hear. He's gonna send his laborers to give them the word and live the life of God before. Give them a display of who he is. That's what our light does for people. That's why we need to be fruitful. According to, you know, yesterday's broadcast was called Danger. But in that broadcast, I showed the difference between a lukewarm Christian who is wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked, versus a Christian that's abiding in the vine and bearing fruit and living in according to what God told Adam in the first place. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. See, when you're in covenant with God, you automatically have dominion over Satan. You have dominion over your destiny. You're supposed to subdue your life and don't let Satan get into it. Keep a hedge up so he can't get to you and keep him under your foot. See, the hedge, our hedge is really, we're above ground, he's below. Our hedge is really under our feet. We're surrounded by everything that he could possibly use. We're shielded. Our shield is like a bubble. It surrounds us. The shield, our shield of faith, it surrounds us and whoever we pray for. So the shield don't look like a Roman shield that just you hold it in your hand, and your shield of faith is a bubble around you completely. Your authority is always over Satan. Your authority is above everything in Satan's kingdom. So when you follow God and receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and acting on it, you are progressing and you can bear fruit on greater levels. See, our fruit is light and salt. We have the ability, when we example the word of God, we're raising the standard. We give people, our life is designed to give people hope. Our words give people life. If they receive it, they can have faith like we do, and we bear fruit together. So I call the people that obey God and yield to him, they're operatives. The people that the Holy Spirit send to say what we need and witness things that we need to know, they're operatives. And I pray that everybody that was a blessing to me get blessed. So all these things are important. Bearing fruit is very important. It'll work when nothing else will. If a person has a good heart and they see the life of God presented correctly, they're coming. They're going to receive it. They're going to have hope for it. They're going to have desire for it. And they're coming. The world turns all that off. The world thinks in reverse against God. And the world system is the Antichrist system. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things cause you to be wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And it also causes you to believe a lie that you're increased and have need of nothing at the same time. See, that's the problem. That's why people need fruit. We don't bear branches, we bear fruit. Jesus is the one that the Holy Spirit causes people to understand that light and come to it. And then the Holy Spirit gives them repentance. And then they come to life and they become branches in that order. But first they got to see example. Jesus said, I know, talking to the lukewarm church, Revelation 3, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I desire that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Those are the three things that people believe: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life says you don't need God. You don't need Jesus. If you say I'm rich, I'm self-sufficient in myself, not in Christ. That's the mindset of the world. I'm increased with goods. I got a car, got a house, place to stay, got food in my refrigerator. I don't need anything. But you're dying. And you're going to die. But some kind of way, the enemy, through pride, he caused them to think that that's going to have them a long, long time from now. And they're 80 years old. But at the same time, this is the real situation. And you know not, they don't have a clue that they are wretched. First, wretched. Second, miserable. Third, poor. Fourth, blind. They can't see their condition. And then naked. They have no covenant with God. This is a very evil condition. And they think they're approved because they have riches and goods. So, Satan set people up for the kill, but the Lord, our God and King, exposes his lies for what they really are. The handiwork of God is the key. And today's date, I never did give the date. Today is Wednesday, the 29th, September 29th. I like to give the date so people have a reference for when this was done. But you know, the point is this. The Holy Spirit, if you pay attention to him, and think about the good things that happened in your life, that it's not an accident. That was the Holy Spirit. So yield to him and trust him, not just for yourself, but for everyone involved. Everybody you know, even strangers, you can be a blessing to them. Now I'm out of time.